Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the words of Jeremiah the prophet from the 23rd chapter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, there is not much doubt about it after reading a scripture like this. God takes sin very seriously. And he condemns any prophet that would diminish the gravity of sin in the minds of his listeners. And speaking of sin, let me tell you one of mine. Not recent. As a 7-year-old. It's safe to confess our 7-year-old sins, right? I was about 7 years old, and I was always curious about how things worked. My mom always complained I was tearing things apart like little pens to see how that little clicker works, and I was tearing apart toys and usually not putting them back together. But one day, I got to looking at electrical wall outlets, and I wondered what was inside of those little slotted holes that made lamps and fans and electric knives do their thing. So I decided that one way to find out would be to stick a bobby pin in there. Except that I knew just enough to know that there could be some risk involved here. You never know what's in one of those little slotted holes, you know. So I did what any young boy would do. I went to my little sister. And I asked her to help me with a little experiment. And we went up to the girls' upstairs bedroom, where we were less likely to encounter any maternal interference. And I gave her the bobby pin, and I told her what to do. And I assured her, it's going to be okay. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. Even though, of course, I was kind of afraid that, in fact, something bad might happen, which is why I wasn't sticking that pin in there. So on my word, and on my promise, she stuck that bobby pin into the outlet. And let's just say that she ended up with the perfect outline of a bobby pin fried into her little fingers, and I ended up with the perfect outline of a wooden spoon fried into, you know where. Anyway, so in this Old Testament reading, between Jeremiah, who says, nothing bad is going to happen, Jeremiah, who says something bad is going to happen, and these other prophets who were saying, nothing bad's going to happen, who's speaking the truth and who is lying? Verse 21, I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. It seems that there were some in Israel who were presenting themselves as prophets of God, even though God had not sent them. And they were prophesying, even though God never gave them a word to speak. These were the false prophets. And they were telling the people basically that same big lie that I told to my sister. It's okay. Go ahead and do it. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. And so we read in verse 17, they, that is these false prophets, say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. I'm reminded of the doctors back in the late 50s, I think, who appeared on cigarette commercials. By then, the link between cigarette smoking and lung cancer was being strongly suspected, and the public was beginning to get worried about that. And in response, the tobacco companies produced commercials with doctors, who of course have your best health interest in mind, to say that there was nothing wrong, nothing to worry about, it's okay, smoke all you want, nothing bad is going to happen to you. Of course, it was a big lie. But that's what smokers wanted to hear. And what sinners want to hear is not a message that condemns their sin or says that anything bad is going to happen. Sinners want to hear an affirming message. It'll be well with you. No disaster is going to come upon you. That is what the unmarried cohabiting couple wants to hear. That's what the drunkard wants to hear, and the spouse abuser, and the practicing gay, and the gossiper. It's what the unforgiving grudge bearer wants to hear, and the glutton. It's okay. Nothing bad is going to happen. Those are the prophets that we love. And St. Paul said to Timothy, a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. And of course, the problem with such teachers, as Jeremiah says, their words are not from God, but from their own corrupted hearts. And they are sent not of God, but of their own volition. And so we read in verses 25 and 26. I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? False prophets preach what they have cooked up in their own dreams and in their own hearts. And of course, what we naturally want to cook up in our own dreams is this notion that we're doing okay. We want to affirm ourselves. So what do you think you're going to hear from these prophets? In this Old Testament reading, only one man is telling the truth, and that's Jeremiah. And it's a difficult truth to hear, because the truth is that sin is serious, and it has consequences. Listen to verse 19. For who among them behold the storm of the Lord, wrath has come forth, a whirling tempest, it will burst upon the head of the wicked. That is the word of God that will break people to their very core. Verse 29, my word is like a fire, it's like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces. If the word of God that you are hearing is not breaking you, if it's not hammering you for the way you've grieved God, if it is not warning you of the coming storm of His wrath, then it's a false word from a false prophet. It's a big lie. The word of God, when it is rightly proclaimed, breaks us and hammers us. And yes, God's word is brutal in that way, and it hurts as it cuts us to the core. But it also saves us by alerting us to the impending doom so that we can turn from our evil deeds and repent and flee to the mercy of God, which is in Christ alone. But in our society, the concept and the word sin have fallen out of fashion, even within the church. Joyce Myers is the one who famously said she's not a sinner, despite God's word that says those who claim to have no sin deceive themselves, to say nothing of their hearers. Joel Osteen, he never mentions sin because that kind of preaching doesn't fill stadiums. That's not what people want to hear. For so many evangelical preachers, sin is little more than a glitch in your character that can be fixed by applying a few biblical principles, a little extra effort on your part to reform your sinful nature. The Bible speaks of crucifying your sinful nature, but the evangelicals speak of reforming it. Mainline churches adopt a liberal theology that actually loves sin and celebrates it, and they pass resolutions at their conventions that celebrate it. Sin, if it exists, is what really bad people do. You know, people like terrorists and murderers and rapists and child abusers. But the things that we do, we used to call them sin, but we are more enlightened now. We aren't that bad. There aren't going to be any real consequences for your sexual impurity or your gossiping or your swearing or your despising the preaching of His word. God's wrath against sin is pretty much a fairy tale. nothing to worry about. You'll be fine. But we, the church, must stand with the true prophets. We must call a thing what it is. Sin is sin. It offends God. And we must draw attention to that ugliness that we all carry. And we must say that because of sin, disaster is coming at us from the hand of the Lord. And that kind of preaching is not going to be popular. And it will draw the scorn and the ridicule of today's false prophets in society. But some will be saved. Because that hammering of the law just drives people to the one and only answer that God has given for our sins in Jesus Christ. Because while those who say they have no sin deceive themselves, and the truth is not in them, to those who confess their sins, God is faithful and just to forgive their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. The very word of God that hammers us and breaks us also lifts us back up again and saves us with words of forgiveness and grace and life and salvation. Jeremiah said that the day would come when we would all understand this very clearly. Verse 20, the anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. In the latter days, God would turn his anger against sin away from us. When? When he accomplished the intent of his heart to send the one to redeem us from our sins and from death by his cross and by his mighty resurrection. Because God turned his wrath against his own son, it is now turned away from us who believe in him, who call upon him for salvation. And it's all become so clear now, hasn't it? Whereas God once spoke of the old times through his prophets, now he has spoken to us by his son through the word that was made flesh. Christ underwent a baptism, as he spoke about in our gospel reading today, of suffering and death for our sins, so that we who are baptized into him in the water and the word crucify that old sinful nature. It is smashed to pieces. It is killed within us by the death of Christ. But his death is for a good purpose. Because when that old life of sin is gone, the way has been opened up for a newness of life, for a resurrection with Jesus Christ. And we are saved. Back in 1973, a bomb exploded in our nation, figuratively speaking. The fuse was lit in the mind of the renowned psychiatrist Carl Menninger, and it was detonated by his pen. Suddenly, without warning, boom, his book, Whatever Became of Sin, hit the shelves and stunned and shocked his colleagues. You see, Menninger's peers had long since laid to rest that hated word, sin. But now, the Carl Menninger, America's own Sigmund Freud, that respected and that competent pioneer of psychology, was reintroducing that word into the vocabulary. Whatever became of sin? It's hard to speak the truth, but only the truth will save us, because only the truth will show us how desperately we need our Lord Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful to be a member with all of you of a church, one of very few, it seems anymore, that still holds to the words and the truth of the Scriptures, and that proclaims law and gospel in the law in its full force and the gospel in its full sweetness. But we call sin sin here, that our ears may also be open to hear of grace that is truly grace. Grace that forgives us and redeems us and sets us free for an eternity of life. And we may not be the most popular church in the neighborhood for preaching like that, We may even lose someone from time to time who wants to go somewhere where they're preaching what itching ears want to hear, that big lie. We may not draw the largest crowds or even have the biggest budget, but it's always better to be true to the Word of God than to be popular in this world. So then, as those who know that sin is sin, and we understand the gravity of it, but to whom the Spirit has also made it clear that grace in Jesus Christ is even bigger than our sins, let's sing with joy the words of the hymn of the day. It is a hymn that contains these words: "Many hardened sinners, Lord, flee in terror at your word. But to all who feel sin's burden, you give words of peace and pardon." Let's join to sing. Speak, O Lord, your servant listens to your word. To me come near. Newborn life and spirit give me. Let each promise still my fear. Death's dread power, its inward strife, wars against your word of life. Fill me, Lord, with love's strong fervor, that I cling to you forever. Oh, what blessing to be near you and to listen to your voice. Let me ever love. Mend me and thy choice. Many hardened sinners, Lord, flee in terror at your word. But to all who feel sin's burden, you give words of peace and pardon. Lord, your words are waters living, when my thirsting spirit pleads. Lord, your words are bread life-giving, on your word my spirit feeds. Lord, your words will be my light, through death's cold and dreary night. Yes, they are my sword prevailing, and my cup of joy unfailing. Let your words in me take root. May your spirit e'er be near me, that I bear abundant fruit. May I daily sing your praise, from my heart glad anthems raise, till my highest praise is given. And may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.